Preach tonight on Saved by His Life, but I was thinking, you know, maybe I should continue on from some of the things I was saying this morning. So I've been praying this evening and I thought, you know, I'll continue on from this morning, but just on a slightly different avenue of thought, but from some of the same scripture. So I want to read again tonight from Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. And I apologize this morning, you know, when it's crying and then I couldn't see through glasses or not. I couldn't see the pages, but praise God. The Lord bless those that's here. And it was nice this morning, we had visitors this morning. And they're originally from England, from a church in Halifax in England. And Alan Connor, you know Alan, I'm sure most people know Brother Alan Connor. He does a lot of missionary trips. He's been here quite a few times and me and him's been friends for a long time. And I'll give them our details. And they're living in Ballyclare. And they just married about 10 weeks. And they came the whole way up from Ballyclare this morning. The fella works down that direction in the country. They've moved over here to Northern Ireland. So we welcome them in the service. I don't know how many services they'll get. It's quite a run up. Although they thought it wasn't too bad. You see, if you're living in England, it's not too bad of a run. But when you live over here, it's a big run. And if you're living in America, it would be less of a run again. Your neighbours could be 100 miles away. In America, it's just wherever your country you're in. You know, that's how people look at it. But it's good to see them. And we appreciate them being able to come. And you know, the sister said, you know, she's really blessed this morning. And her name is Sarah. And she really felt the Lord spoke to her. And we just thank God for His word. And we appreciate the Lord, amen. Appreciate everyone's faithfulness. I know a lot of people missing tonight. And I was counting this morning. There's 13 people was missing as well this morning from the meeting. You wouldn't have thought about 13 people. And I would just pray. I don't know what's holding everybody up. But just pray that whatever's happening, it'll be sorted. And they'll get coming. And the Lord will bless them, praise God. And you know, it's not numbers, but it is nice to see people coming, isn't it? Amen. And it's good to make an effort to come to the house of the Lord. And you know, the football season's in, and I'm not against watching the football. I like the football, and people make the extra effort to see who's going to win the World Cup. And I don't even know myself who's going to win it this year. I've no idea. I haven't hardly seen much of it. But I'm not really worried about the World Cup. You know, I'm worried about the things of God. But I want to encourage you tonight. God answers according to need. We saw this morning, we looked at this portion on the faith aspect. This evening, we're looking at it on the need aspect. What is your need? Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 4, verse 1 to 6. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man whom to God will not impute of righteousness without works. Let us bow our heads again this evening, and we just pray the Lord bless each one. If you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. Lord Jesus, we're going to look at this prayer of Abraham tonight and how you answered that man and visited him. And Lord, we know you've promised you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no respecter of persons, because you said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And through him, you encouraged us to pray. Lord, we would ask for the hands raised, that thou indeed would meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, we would ask your blessing in this service. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me now, and I thank you that you will. And I pray you bless everyone in this room tonight, and all that's near to them and all that's dear to them, save them in Jesus' precious name. And Father, for those that couldn't be here tonight for different reasons and circumstances, bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And Lord, for the backslidden, restore them, we pray, and move upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Here I'm calling this the first recorded prayer in the Bible, where Abraham is praying to God, the Father of the faithful, Lord, what will you give me? And Abraham had a need, and Abraham's need was there was somebody in his house that wasn't his seed. And Abraham was saying to God, shall this Eliezer be the one? And God said, no, he won't be. But the one that's going to be the one will be off your own seed. It's coming from you, Abraham. And God was saying to Abraham, I've answered you. And I'm going to do the thing for you that seems impossible. And it was impossible. And you know, if you were to go in your Bibles for a moment to chapter 18 of Genesis and down to verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord, that being Abraham, being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child with which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So God doesn't give them a date, but God says to Abraham, at the time appointed. And I want to say this evening, and I'm not preaching this tonight, God has an appointed time for everything. The coming of the Lord, there is an appointed time, but only God himself knows that appointed time. And God will not be too late for that appointed time. He will be right on time. And Abraham didn't know when God met him and when God spoke to them. I don't believe Abraham realized that there's going to be 25 years of a gap before Isaac's born, but there was. 25 years is quite a long time. But it's nothing in the eyes of God. And many people would have looked at Abraham, and perhaps he looked older and grayer or whatever.
answered. It was going to take a supernatural something to take place for this to happen. And I want to say from the start of the service tonight that we have to understand we're working with a supernatural being. With supernatural ability and supernatural authority, Him being Almighty God. Not just God, but Almighty God. The one that spoke on the earth came forth. Almighty God. And Abraham's had an encounter with Almighty God. And this encounter's done something to Abraham. And there's a faith that has gripped Abraham from that moment because of the encounter. And I tell you, it's like a brother John often says, there's no substitute for the power and the presence of the Lord. And when God visits anybody, His power's with them and His presence is with them. And they'll never be the same again. And I believe that Abraham was a tremendous man and a man of God, but I believe this supernatural encounter done something on him. And he believed God. And despite of all the evidence against it, he believed God. Because he had prayed a prayer because he had a need. And God answered him at the point of his need. I want to say this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ can meet you at the very point of your need. And the greatest need you have this evening, and hear me this evening, if anyone ever hears this message, the greatest need for any man or woman is to be born again. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your greatest need is to be saved. And it's only through Christ are you saved. He can be saved no other way. God has revealed Himself to Abraham in this first verse as a shield, His rewarder, protector and provider. Protector, the shield from danger. God was Abraham's shield from danger, the provider. Someone who provides and supplies the need. You know, many times, you know, even myself, and some days I work when I can get a bit of work, and I do joint work and different bits of work, but sometimes you don't get work, and you wonder what you're going to do, but the Lord always provides. And the psalmist David says, I am young and I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. God always provides. And God has promised, I will provide your needs in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say He'll do it through the boss or through anyone else. It's in Christ Jesus. The Lord's your need. The Lord's your source. And you look to the Lord for your need. Also, He said to Abraham as well, rewarder. Something given in return for good merit or performance or service. God was Abraham's rewarder. I'm your rewarder, Abraham. Imagine meeting with God and God saying to you, I am your rewarder. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, Abraham was blessed. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us about rewarder. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's why I tell you, when you come to the prayer meeting, or when you get away in the closet at home, and you pray, there's a reward for men and women that pray. You hear me tonight? There's a reward for praying, because God says there is. And because God says there is, there is. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek God. God wants men and women that's diligent. Diligent. Psalm 61 tells us in verse 3, He's our strong tower. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. It is the Lord that keeps you from the enemy of your soul. Just like poor Peter. Peter was finished. But because the Lord prayed for him, that reversed it. And he wasn't finished. But in the eyes of man, he was finished. But in God's eyes, he was a success story.
Hallelujah.
A real success story. Because God could see the end from the beginning. But people couldn't, but God could. Even He cursed, He done all them things. Still a success story. And when the day of Pentecost has fully come, Peter was the man.
Amen.
That stood up and the Spirit of God come on him mightily. And he preached from the book of Joel. What a sermon he preached. He identified the scriptures for his hour. That it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and the old men will dream dreams, the young men will see visions, and upon my servants, my handmaids, I will pour out of my Spirit. And Peter knew these scriptures must needs be fulfilled. And the power of God come on him. Protection and provisions promised from God. And Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself, and the things of it sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. So many, all of us are guilty. We sometimes get worked up and we get stressed out and we get worried. You know, Brother Branham preached a sermon one time called Letting Off the Pressure. Do you ever hear that sermon? It's called Letting Off the Pressure. Who's ever heard of a pressure cooker? A pressure cooker has to be able to let the pressure off. It uses the pressure, but there's a letting the pressure off. Same as a train. The whistle in the train lets the steam out and lets the pressure off. And there's pressure in life. But sometimes the enemy wants to press us with the pressure and worry and stress, but we're not to take even thought for tomorrow. For the Lord's at all in control. That's what he's telling you. God's at all in control. Why? Because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered for the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Hallelujah. Thank God tonight. God said to Abraham, I'm your protector and your provider. The basic revelation to every Christian is that God is protector and provider. It is God. Abraham was a father of nations. Abraham had a need. There was going to be a supernatural intervention needed for this need. For the need was a son. He needed a son. And here he was married to the woman that couldn't have children. It ceased to be with Sarah. But God comes in the scene and says, you're going to have a son by Sarah. God gives him something that's impossible. But God never asks you to do something if he doesn't make a way for it. That's the point I tried to say this morning. And I'm repeating it again. If God says it, God will make the way for it. Many years ago, I received a prophecy in a wee house meeting. And the prophecy said, you'll travel to the far ends of the earth. Now that's New Zealand from here. When I was sitting in there then and I hadn't two shillings. You know, it's no money at all, and I'm sitting there wondering to myself, there's no way I could go. Sure, I couldn't go. There's no way I could go. I've no money to go. And then the next thing, this person that prophesied turned around and prophesied again. The Lord will send you, never mind how. Now, you know, do you ever hear of a man called Paul Cain? Paul Cain had a tremendous gift from God, very, very similar to the gift of discernment William Branham had. And when Paul Cain was a very, very young man, his mother said, you're going to travel to Switzerland to preach the gospel and God's going to mightily use you. And Paul Cain said, but Mom, sure, I've no money. And William Branham rang him on the phone. And he said, Paul Cain, I was to go to Switzerland, but you're going in my place. Because the angel of the Lord told William Branham, when you go to Switzerland, they'll shoot you. They're waiting on you. And they're going to shoot you. So you're not going. But Paul Cain will go. And the same miracles that would have happened in your meeting will happen in Paul Cain's meeting. Now I know a lot of people around some circles don't want to hear that. But that's what was said. And that's exactly what happened. And Paul Cain went to Switzerland. And Paul Cain, on a radio broadcast, I used to have a recording of it years ago. Paul Cain said he never saw the ministry so great as on that trip. And the first night he went and preached, there was police all around the meetings, and they wouldn't let him pray for nobody. They forbid him to pray for the sick because they told all sorts of stories about William Branham. And every one of those policemen got saved in the first service. God saved every one of them. And the power of God fell in them meetings, and many people were healed and delivered by the power of God. When God says he's going to do something, God will make a way for it. God will make a way for it. And no matter what somebody does, God will still make a way to bring forth the thing he's determined to do. Amen. Because Jeremiah says he watches over his word to perform it. Yeah. And to bring it to pass. I tell you, God is able tonight. Abraham had a need. This was a tremendous need. God promised him that he would not only give him a son, but he'd make a seed like the sand on the seashore. Didn't he say to him, can you number the stars? Abraham, can you number the stars? Abraham couldn't number the stars. None of us could number the stars. We can't number the stars. And God said to Abraham, there's going to be that many come out from you that they'll be like the stars of the heaven and the sand upon the seashore. But Isaac being the first one, the promised son. God establishes himself here as the great provider. It was God that provided for Abraham. It was God that made the way for Abraham. It was God that made it possible that Sarah's body somehow was made to fit what God said. According to Abraham's first prayer uttered, God answered according to his need. Abraham, what do you need? Philippians 4:19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Your need's not been supplied by some individual. God can use an individual, but it is ultimately God that's supplying your need. It is God that's behind it. God can move someone to give you or bless you, but it's God behind it. And you can never outgive the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Not only answered Abraham's need, but because he is Hebrews 13:8, he can answer our need today. Not only did he do it for Abraham, but he can do something for me and you. God can do it still today, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Israel thirsted, God gave them water. He opened the Red Sea. He gave them fresh manna every single day from heaven. Fresh. Now, God done that in the Old Testament, and we're living under the New Testament, under the New Covenant, under Christ. And he's not just on the cross this evening, but he's in heaven. Not on the cross. Excuse me. He's not in the tomb, he's in heaven. Seated at the right hand of majesty and high. And the Bible tells in the Hebrews that he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He's touched. And he's praying for us. Praying for us. What about Samson? After Samson, and you know the story, Samson slew, I don't know how many, I can't remember, with the jawbone of an ass, and he almost died, and he thirsted, and God gave him water to drink from the same jawbone of the ass. That was a miracle. What about the 7 years of famine that struck the land of Egypt in the time of Joseph? But Joseph, being a prophet of God and a dreamer, God showed him by a dream what to do. And Joseph made grain stores and filled the grain stores with grain so that in the time of famine there was a provision. There was no famine with Joseph, but there was famine everywhere. And everyone had to come to Joseph to get bread. That was the only place where you could get the grain to make the food. But Joseph had the grain store, but that was God's provision. God done it. But he used a man to give a dream till and make the stores, but ultimately God was a provider. Amen. God met the need. Every answer to prayer is based on a need. I want you to say this with me this evening. I can get my need met. Will you say that? Will you say, I can get my need met? Whatever your need is, I can get my need met. God can move in my situation. Send the Lord out. The Holy Spirit can go out. And the Holy Spirit can move in your behalf in any situation. God can move in a person. God can move in some place. God can do it. And God can change things to bring it to pass. What's your heart's desire? What's your need? God is able to do it. Jesus meets needs. Do you know that? Abraham's prayer was based on a need. And that assures us we can have our needs met. And Jesus meets needs. Matthew 8:2-3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Lord, I have a need. What can you do about it? I can answer it for you. That's the same thing the Lord's saying here. If thou wilt, then the Lord says, I will. I will. We're not to pray, Lord, if it's your will. We know God's will. Hallelujah. The New Testament is an old English word for will. So when we read the New Testament, we're reading the will. And the will says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the will says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And the will says, if we've been evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's what the will says. And the will says, beloved, I wish him of all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper. That's what the will says. And the will says, I am coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what the will says. Amen. We believe God's will. Matthew 9, verse 20, 22, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. Now we know in another scripture there was another woman, and she had an issue of blood 18 years. Two different stories, instances, true happenings. And touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And that word whole means complete. What about what I referred to before, but the lepers, that they came and the Lord cleansed them and he stopped their leprosy, and none of them come back? Was it one or two come back? Was it 10 of them? One come back, and the Lord said to that one, thou shalt be whole. And you know leprosy eats your fingers off and eats your toes off. And the Lord cured them, that it didn't happen no more. But that one that came back, the Lord made him whole. That means his fingers grew again and his feet grew again. That's what it means. The Lord done for the one that came back. He was made whole, complete. That's how wonderful our Lord is. He'll meet the need. Not only can he stop something that's destroying your body and halt it, he can restore to you. Doesn't the word of God said, I will restore that which the locust and the cankerworm have eaten? I will restore, saith the Lord. After this miracle, here, and you read this miracle in Matthew 9, 22, verse 22, but if you were to keep on reading, you'd read, for there's someone dead. And the Lord said, they're just sleeping. And he went in to wake them, and he put them all out, and he raised them from the dead. He's a miracle worker. I tell you, if you were to go into the miracles of the Lord tonight, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let me read you like this. For we do not have a priest, a high priest, who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weakness and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. He can pray for us. He can intercede for us. God answers prayer according to the need. Even when we're wrong, he's faithful. You could go right into the Old Testament and you could see for Moses' wife done something she shouldn't have done, and God brought something on her. How many knows that? Now I haven't got time this evening to go into it. Was it Miriam? And you know, she said, she spoke out of place and she took ill, but Moses prayed for her. He prayed for her and the Lord touched her. And even when we do things wrong, if we're willing to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, the Lord will forgive us and still heal us. He's a merciful Savior. Amen. I want to read one more scripture before I close tonight. Psalms 103. Let me read this evening. Verse 1 to verse 8 and then 12 to 17. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is to slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. God can bless you and bless your children. Are you hearing that tonight? God can bless you and your children's children. God can do it. And you can pray for a need. And even if it's not your own individual self, your children or your children's children, you have a right in this word given to pray for them. And God will answer. Let's stand our feet this evening and praise God. We're going to pray and Brother Mark's going to come. Praise God. Now, I know people's raised hands, but I want you to just believe God tonight. Praise God. The most needed thing for any person is to be saved, to be born again, to call upon the name of the Lord. And you need to make sure you've called in the name of the Lord and you're saved. That's the most important thing. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight that you will answer us according to need. We can look into your word, and it's written for our exhortation or admiration. We look to this word and we can see, Lord, what you've done before, you can do it again. Because you said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. We bless you that you never change. The greatest revelation of God never changes is mind about his own word. Bless your word till all of our hearts tonight. Bless all the widows in this service. Bless every mother, every father, every boy, every girl. We pray for Elijah tonight and Isaac as they go and sing. And Lord, that you bless them and make them a blessing in the name of the Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll have your way in all of our lives, in all of our homes. Save our children. Save even those that's near and dear to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you as our Brother Mark comes.
Sing that one, Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Mm-hmm. 177, the redemption.
Jesus was slain for me on Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he on Calvary. There he anguished died. There